wanted to share on something that we've all experienced. So that's the title I gave this experience. And the title of tonight's sharing is, with a question mark at the end, had a bad day? Had a bad day. Speaking for myself, I've had a bad couple of months. But you know what? I get up and keep moving. And literally, I had to get up because I've been falling down and cutting myself up. And I shared with a few of you yesterday, one thing that those guys do not want to experience, and that's I lost my wallet. And I was, I didn't care about the cash dues, and I want my stuff back because I don't want to go to the DMV. I don't want to go to Kaiser, get their card again. I don't want to get my veteran card again. None of that. So you know what I did? One guess. What do you think I did?
Prayed.
I prayed about it. You think I prayed about it after I tried to figure out how I'm going to do this? Or first?
First.
So I prayed about it along with my beautiful wife several times. And the following day was Easter Sunday. And I said, you know what? I think I lost it when we went to Panda Express. We went to get a bite to eat. And Shanti was quick to point out that, oh, it's Easter. They're not open, just like a lot of other places aren't. So I just said, well, I guess I'll wait till Monday. But then it was like God was tapping me on the shoulder. He goes, call them. Just call them. So I did, and guess what? They answered. So I asked them, you know what? I believe I lost my wallet in your restaurant. And that's all I got out of my mouth when this gentleman by the name of Brady says, oh, yeah, it's in the manager's office. And what a relief. What a relief. And right away, the first thing I did was thank the Lord. Thank him for taking care of the little things in our life, which are big things to us. So I had a bad few days, but nothing like what we're going to see that's going to put things into perspective. We've all, like I said, had bad days, but God is always there to help. I want you to look, for starters, before we get into the sharing, at 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians, we're going to go to chapter 1. And remember, whenever we read a verse from the Bible, it's not my words, it's not Bob's words, it's not anyone else's words, it's God's words. We're the messenger, you know. Let's just say, even if it's read out of context of what someone's sharing and stuff, it doesn't change the dynamic and the powerful love that God is expressing to us, right? It still fits, right? So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go down to verse 4. It says, he comforts, this is the NLT, by the way, he comforts us in all, not some, not only the bad stuff, but all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. See, we experience God's rescuing and delivering us from trouble and stuff like that, and we can share that with others, that there's an answer to your situation, right? No. When they are troubled, we will be able. What does that mean, we'll be able? It means we can. We can do this, okay? We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Do you see that? It's so clear and straightforward, but it's in God's word. It's there so that when we have these bad days, or like he likes to say, tribulations, we have answers. And this verse also, for he has said, we know this one, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5, right? Well, don't ever think that whatever bad day you're having, God just might not be there. He's out playing golf, or he's over dealing with Ted McCormick stuff. He doesn't have time for you. Absolutely not. God is the world's greatest ever known multitasker known to man. How he does it, I have no idea, but I'm glad he does it. Okay? Tonight, I would like to put some perspective on our bad days and to see there's great power and help in allowing our Almighty God and Father in getting us through them. Notice I said in allowing God. God will never force himself on you. You know, if you want to be crazy and say, I don't need your help, I can do this by myself, that's on you. But when you go to God, he's able, willing, and ready. Every moment, every moment. So, let's please go back, let's please go to the book of Job. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. So in Job, we're going to start off in chapter 1, verse 1. Now there's 42 verses in this book. We're not going to read them all tonight. We don't have the time, but you have the time on your own to read them. We're just going to look at some of this stuff, but just to give you a flavor, a taste of what Job's bad day looked like. So we go to the book of Job to see his bad day and the outcome. We must keep in mind that the earth is where the evil one was cast out to, correct? Right, okay. He, the devil, was there in Job's time, and he's here today. All right? Hold your finger there, and please go to Isaiah 14:12, please. Isaiah 14:12. Speaking of being cast out of heaven. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? So right there he tells you, you've been booted out, you've been cast out. And then look at Revelation 12:12, please. A book we hardly ever go to, but we're going to it now. Revelation 12:12. It says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Huh? He knows the score. So he's going to try and do and disrupt as much as he can along the way. But you know what we do? We say, enough. We say, stop. And not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Why? Because God's given us that power. He's given us that power. But we do not forget this one thing. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, right? Why would God say that? Because greater is he that is in you. All right? I'm sure whenever we say that verse like I did right now, the devil is doing this. I don't want to hear it. For those who have called in, I'm putting my two hands over my ears. Okay, now to the book of Job. And I said chapter 1 and in verse 1. Keep in mind what we read throughout the Old Testament and here in Job about evil or harm is in many instances attributed to God. This is the figure of speech, idiom of permission. Okay? People who don't know that, they read, well, God is pretty bad. Look, he killed this person. No, he just doesn't want to glorify the devil. So that's why it's put down in the figure of speech as idiom of permission. E.W. Bullinger says this idiom of permission is to conceal the enemy. Like I just said, it's to conceal the enemy. All right. Active verbs were used to express not the doing of the thing, but the permission of the thing. All right. So this simply means God allowed. All right, Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared or reverenced God and eschewed or stayed away from evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He had a lot of inventory, didn't he? I guess if we were to try to bring that forward to the time now, it'd be like saying, this guy had 7,000 Mercedes-Benz. Tra-la-di-da, tra-la-di-da. But back then, that was wealth. That was wealth for sure. Go down to verse 6, please. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves. These are angels that we're referring to, but these are not God's good guys. These are the angels that hung out and followed Satan, all right? before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. That was his boy, all right? These, as it says in the NLT, members of heaven, is also called, I believe, are talking about, like I said, angels who followed Satan. Go down to verse 7 here. And it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. But he was just cruising the earth. I'm going to switch over to the NLT now. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, I know, yes, but Job has good reason to fear or to reverence you, Lord. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. If God did it, we'll leave it alone. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Verse 12. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. Verse 13. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. 16. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of the Lord has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds, speaking of lightning, okay? I am the only one who escaped to tell you. So far he's having a bad day, wouldn't you say? And it's not over. Verse 17. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. It seems like his bad day is getting worse. Verse 18. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. 19. Suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. It's really a bad day now. Verse 20. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. Notice it doesn't say he started going out of his mind and screaming this and that. He fell to the ground and worshiped. Verse 21. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. He gave him permission again. The Lord didn't take it away. The adversary was going off. And verse 22, in all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Most people would have said, what kind of God do I have? Look what he allowed, or look what he did. Even worse than that. Go over to chapter 2, verse 1, please. Chapter 2 in Job, verse 1 says, one day the members of the heavenly court, again, these are the adversary's angels, this is his voice, came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. His followers. Go down to verse 7. So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. I don't know about any of you, but I've had shingles, and they're no picnic. They're very painful. And this sounds like a lot worse because it's his whole body. With my wonderful wife's help and prayer from you guys, I got through it. But again, I don't ever want to experience that again. It was very painful. Yet he had boils from head to toe. It doesn't say how long, but he had it. And it must have been very, very excruciating. Remember, God allowed Satan, okay? Ever had the shingles, like I just said? I have. You don't want them. Job, you might say, was on this emotional roller coaster throughout all this and what we're not going to read. One minute, he calls God an unjust God through all this stuff. He finally just succumbed to that, saying God is unjust. But again, like I said, he was on an emotional roller coaster. And the next minute, he comes terrified and changes his tune to God is a just God. See? And with what we've just read, can you see why he's, you know, it's just all hell's breaking loose in his life? Verse 8 in chapter 2. The story continues. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among all the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. He's saying anything bad, he's talking about an unjust God at this point because he doesn't have a clue. He's attributing it to God. But God spoke with the adversary and he says, just don't harm him physically. Continuing, verse 11. When three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. Their names were Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Nahamathite. Okay? These are three people, his friends, close buds, that wanted to come and console him. Verse 12, when they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him, wailing loudly. They tore their robes and threw dust over the air, over their heads, to show their grief. Now, just how did Job feel about all this to this point, what was going on? To see that, I'd ask for you to go to the next chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, at last, Job spoke. And he cursed the day of his birth. That's how bad it is. He said, let the day of my birth be erased and the night I was conceived. That's how bad he felt. That's how he was emotionally distraught. That bad. In Job's case, it was him and God Almighty. Now, go over to Job chapter 9, please. And when you get to chapter 9, go down to verse 33. Here's where we come in as far as the present. In Job 9:33, it says, if only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together. Do we have a mediator? Absolutely. Who comes to our aid in our defense and speaks on our behalf when we pray in his name, Jesus Christ. Job didn't have Jesus Christ. It was him and God. That's not a bad thing, but that's the way it was at that point in the history of mankind. We think we got it bad. Imagine if they have no Jesus Christ just saying, God, please hear me. Hear me. Okay? Who do we have today again? It's our mediator, it's Jesus Christ. We're going to go to the closing chapter. And for that, we need to go to Job 42. Job 42, verse 1. So, just keep Job in mind. And like I said, I implore you to read the whole book of Job. Because when we think we've got it bad, and Job is just a example of what we have never gone through or probably will go through. But the biggest example is Jesus Christ. You hear a lot of times that he paid the price, which is, okay, it's fair. I like to think he endured the price. because it wasn't like he whipped out a Visa card and said, okay, I'm done, I'm gonna cross moon. No, he went days being beat and tormented and stuff. For who? For you and I. For you and I. So he had a real bad day. And we're seeing how Job had a real bad day. Okay? But God puts us in his word to show us that there is answers and victorious ones at that. So, Job 42, starting in verse 1, it says, after all this, if you haven't read and what we have read, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. Verse 4, you said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Verse 5, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Verse 6, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Verse 7, after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? God called them out on the carpet. They thought they were telling Job with their man's wisdom what was going down, and God says, no, you weren't accurately saying what I was trying to say. Go down to verse 10. It says, when Job prayed for his friend, now see, Job is praying for them. He's praying for them now. The Lord restored his fortune. In the fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Verse 11, then all his brothers, sisters, and former friends came and feasted with him in his home, and they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him. Again, he gave him a permission. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. That blessed his heart, I'm sure, huge after what he went through. Go down to verse 16, please. We're going to wrap this up here. Job 42:16. Job lived over 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. That reminds me of Jeannie and Bob. You guys are seeing your children and grandchildren, and we all have done the same. But we're all human, and God is pointing out that detail. In verse 17, then he died an old man who had lived a long, full life. I would say it was full of a bunch of bad days, but more than that, the victory that God has given him. My challenge for us is to remember that Jesus Christ gave his life so that we can get past our bad days with the victories God gives us. God knows our hearts as he did Job. And like Barney shared yesterday, Jesus Christ paid the price and we keep the change because we are. I took it a step further. I don't know what he was implying with the second part of what he said, but we keep the change because we are changed. Not money changed, we are changed. So look at it that way. Jesus Christ paid the price and we keep the change. Do we want to change from what we've been given? No, we keep it. We keep it, okay? So that's what I wanted to share with you guys tonight so that we try in our fellowships to touch on subjects that are current and that affect us today and that are real about us today. And like I said, have you had a bad day? The answer is yes, all of us. But it doesn't stop there. We get through them with victory through our Lord and Savior and in Jesus Christ's name. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the examples you put in your word so that we can learn from them, Father, so that we can be all the wiser, especially knowing what people like Job went through to still give you prayer, praise, and the glory. Father, this is just a physical body we have with us right now. And like he said, we came into the world naked, and that's how we're going to leave. So I just pray for each heart here, Father, and whatever rough time or spot or tribulation they're going through, that we can be reminded by the record of Job that we will get through it. We will have the victory, not because of what we do or in our power or wisdom, but in yours, Almighty God. And we thank you from every part of our heart for your grace, your love, and your help. And it's in Jesus Christ's delivering name, that huge name, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.